Well, thank you everybody for coming. It's funny when I got this workshop, you know, yes, I'm a son of God and I love the Lord very much. I know he loves me. I know he's blessed me with gifts he's chosen to give me. But in all honesty, I mean, uniquely empowered is the title of my workshop. And when I got that title, I didn't feel empowered, you know, that I didn't feel that I had God's thumbs up to call me as he called me to be uniquely empowered to speak on that, you know, for his kingdom. So I had a lot of questions for him, in all honesty. I wasn't sure I could do this one. I wasn't sure I had the right stuff, you know. So I need a little help for this one. Usually I can bank on my experiences with my family or, you know, me and my wife's marriage. That wasn't the case with this one. It was, felt kind of lonely with this one. So, with that said, I was at work by myself, and I was praying, and I was talking to the Holy Spirit about just my purpose in general, about what he wanted me to do, and, you know, some certain things I thought were going to go one way in my life, it completely went opposite ways, and I wasn't sure what he wanted me to do or how I was going to do these things. I was praying about coming here. I was praying about this title, this workshop, and I was like, you know, Holy Spirit, I know you don't make mistakes, but I still think I got it. I mean, whatever you're seeing, I'm not seeing in myself to give this workshop. So I was outside looking up at the stars. It's wintertime right now and back home, and Holy Spirit showed up. He's always there, but at times he makes himself more tangible to me. Okay, I can feel his presence really strong. Usually if I'm doubting or questioning something or I need a kick in the butt, let's say, I can feel him really strong when he's going to say something. I felt his presence, and he said, he's like, okay, all right, I've heard you enough. You're done talking. He's like, check this out. Go in your book, go on your blog. And I wrote a poem a while ago for this conference, a couple years ago. Go read it. I said, okay. And he directed me where to go. And I'll read it to you. And then we'll come back to it later. But this is what he told me to let me know that he already put inside of me everything I needed to give this workshop, to give this message, to be the one that he chose specifically for this. It's called Omnipotent and Omnipresent at the Same Time. I'll pass them out later. Just listen, please. All right. Researched it, found the truth, and rebirthed it. Job chapter 10, verses 11 through 12, spoke concerning it. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, describes it. The human body thrives on it. Intuition heightened the fire that inspires it, better known as the Holy Spirit's guidance, the unseen fuel that ignites it, cleverly weathered the match that strikes it. Imagination confided in it, with it, and inside of it. It broke the ties of confinement. The sun's light shined on it, illuminated and identified it. By the Star of David, they recognized it. Its limits are non-existent, and there exists no man-made record of it. No amount of money can afford it. The Leviathan and the Behemoth, described in Job chapter 41, verses 1 through 29, are descendants of it. Although searched for, no archaeologist has ever discovered it. God alone conscribed it, created the blueprints, and defined it. From nothingness, he designed it, built it, and refined it. So come forth and attempt to decipher it. Time has grown, and the prize is priceless for the one who finds it. he said, Uniquely Powered is all about that. He said, there's things about me and my working in you that I have not yet revealed to you. We often go through things in life. We come up here, we get prayer, we get impartations, and then we go home. You know, some things we do notice in our attitudes, how we treat people, how we can accept more things. Maybe we get more patient. Maybe we get a better job. Maybe we get more understanding on things. But there are other things, the secret things of the Father, that he said, my people don't really look at it like this. And this is where he took me for this workshop. Now, before I go back over the poem, he took me to David. I love the story of David. I've always loved the story of David. David's the greatest king to ever live. I mean, he was a man after God's own heart. But there was something David did in his youth that really identified with what God does in us in the beginning. See, God said we're uniquely empowered, uniquely. Well, as a man, when I think of power, I think of might. I think of ability to pick up things and put them down over here, or, you know, throw my kids around, you know, because I'm stronger than them. That's what I think of. But God says, you know, in our weakness, he is strong. As you know, I walk around here with a limp. I recently hurt my leg playing softball. Co-ed softball. This is church league. But anyway, I hurt my leg. I did a nice number on it. I never thought I'd be in the situation that I'm in currently with a damaged knee here. I had ACL reconstruction. I tore my anterior ligament. I tore my cruciate ligament. And they had to take a bone graft and move it over here. And it was a whole thing. It was silliness. But it came out of nowhere. And I really wasn't prepared for it when it happened. That set me on kind of the path of where I am, a dependency on God that David really had at a young age. We all know the story. Saul became king because the people, the Israelites, asked for a king. They wanted somebody visibly there, okay? Well, Saul went along and eventually was disobedient, and God said, okay, I'm taking it from you and I'm giving it to somebody else. And he gave it to David. But at the time, David was still a young man. He was a shepherd boy. He had no knowledge of what was going on. He was just doing what he did. Well, we all know the story of David and Goliath. One day, Saul and his army went out to fight, and they ran into the Philistines. They ran into Goliath. David was at home with the sheep, unaware. And Samuel came and said, hey, God has anointed Jesse. God has anointed one of your sons king. Bring your sons before me. So he did as instructed. The king wasn't there. He said, well, there's somebody who has to be sons. Is there anybody else? Like, well, yeah, David. He's tending sheep. David came before him, and the call was given. You're going to be king. David goes back out and tends sheep. So Philistines come. Saul's there. David goes to bring his brother's food, and he hears something. And this is where it got interesting. David heard a man disrespect God. David was a boy. He was a young man. And it vexed him so that he was willing to go fight this Philistine. Not only fight him, David said he was going to kill him. And I'm going to read what he said, because here we go. All right. Now, so we all know Goliath is taunting the whole entire army, and he's completely putting down God. David walks up, and here's what he says. He said, no. I'm going to kill him. One of the men heard David talking, went and told Saul. Saul calls David into his tent, and Saul finally says, "Okay, David, you want to go after him? None of us are going to do it. Go for it." So, okay. David went to put on the armor that Saul had for him. Okay, that's what it says. Okay. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight him, this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or bear came to take a lamb out of the flock, I went after him and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. So the conversation goes on, and Saul says, "Okay." Samuel 17:38 right now. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not yet tested them. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." So David took them off. So David has said, "I'm going to go forth, and I'm going to defend my God's honor, and I'm going to kill this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine." So he puts on the armor that Saul, the king, gave him, and it didn't fit. Well, oftentimes in my life, when there's a challenge ahead of me, there's always somebody to tell me what I need to do, how to do it. Even though I spent time in my prayer closet, we spend times alone in our prayer closets, and we hear a word from God, and God tells us, "Do this, do it just like this." And it might not make sense to us. So we go out and we ask for advice from other people. We go ask advice from maybe our friends, coworkers, whoever's there. And they give us their input. They give us their advice, which differs from what we know. And it doesn't fit. What do we do? Like Nancy said, I've been in my church for a long time. I love God very much. But sometimes what God has for me doesn't fit with what they have for me, how they want to do it. Are our goals the same? Yes. But God is purposely having my way secret to them because he wants to do something in me himself. They're not wrong. It's just between me and God. And I'm the one that has to figure that out. It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with me. So here, David's put on armor. Just like in my church, they have a certain way they want me to do things. But I know what God's told me personally. So it doesn't fit. We want the same goal. We both want that Philistine dead. We want to kill him. But God has told me to do it a different way. And I know that I know that I know. That's what he said. I can't wear that armor. I can't do it. So David takes the armor off. He says, "You know what? I can't wear this. This isn't me." So what did he do? Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag. 5 smooth stones. We all know that 5 stands for grace. This young boy is going to go up against the most fierce man the army has ever seen with 5 smooth stones and a staff. And he was confident he was going to win. Why? Why? He was not battle-tested. He never fought against other men. Why was he so confident that he was going to win? From the time he saw and heard that Philistine, he knew he was going to win. Why? What was it? What was in him that the rest of the men didn't have? We all know the story. David goes up against Goliath, and what does Goliath say? Goliath says, okay, And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth. David's a boy. I'm going to skip down to 13:45. Okay. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come in the name of my Lord of hosts." He was wearing God. He knew, even though everybody else didn't, the king himself, he knew that because he was fighting for God, that he was going to win. He knew something nobody else knew. He was secretly empowered with something. For some reason, the concept didn't hit anybody else but him. Now I'm going to skip ahead to... All right. Yes. Okay. So he knew he was going to win because of God. In my life, I often think that I have something that nobody else can see, but I don't know how to tell them or to share it. I don't know how to correctly give it out or give it away. Every battle doesn't have to be a struggle. Every battle doesn't have to be a debate or mixed words. Sometimes the greatest victories God will give me to win are the ones that are won in silence, or maybe by example. The next thing I want to look at, I feel like I'm doing horrible up here, by the way. All right. The next story I want to tackle, well, okay. Okay, Moses. He was another one that had a secret, unique gifting. I've often been jealous of Moses my entire life, honestly, because I've always been jealous of the relationship he had with God. It didn't make sense to me. I've read the story of Moses many times, and I could never find where Moses did something so spectacular that he got to spend all this time with God, did something so great that God chose him to free his people. The people cried out, Moses was born, and his calling was to free God's people. But yet when he went up there and he was before the burning bush, God told him to go, he was unsure of himself. He told God no, and they says, the anger of God burned against Moses. So what was it about Moses? Why did God use him so powerfully? It wasn't his confidence in himself, because he didn't have it. It wasn't his great record, because he fled because he had murdered somebody, although for good reason. He was protecting, but still, that wasn't it either. So what was it that the uniqueness about Moses that God was going to use to not only introduce himself to the rest of the world, but just change everything? In Exodus 3:14, God is giving instruction to Moses, and Moses is, by this time, God has convinced Moses to go and free his people. God says to Moses, Moses asked God, "Okay, I'm going to go. You're sending Aaron, I'm going to go. But I still need something to tell the people who's sending me. So this is what God said. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Moses goes to Egypt, sees his people, goes up against Pharaoh, and at first, the things that he was doing were being mimicked. The snake, the staff was mimicked. But yet there was something about Moses, something else that he had that nobody else had. There was an authority that God had personally given him. There was a knowing that God was going to prevail that he had that nobody else had, even the Israelites. How many times did he have to go back and reassure them that it was going to work out? How many times did he have to say it's going to be okay? It's going to be okay. Even to up to the Red Sea. Moses, you brought us out here to die. You brought us out here to die. Moses turns around and asks the Father, part of the Red Sea. There was something he had over all the miracles they saw God do, everything he'd done for them. There was something Moses had they didn't have. What was it? Who said that? Say it louder. What'd you say? He had authority. Why didn't they see it? What was it that they continued to question? I often thought maybe if, you know, I'm a big Old Testament buff. I love the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament because God was so present in the Old Testament. What was it about? I was often wondering if I saw the miracles they saw, if God would physically show up to me like he did with Joshua, would my life change? You know, would I be able to just stay the course better? You know, not lose my temper? You know, be a better example? Would that make me better? But it didn't make them. It didn't do it for them. It did it for Moses, but not the rest of them. Even his own brother and sister got into it with him. So what was it that he had that the rest of the people seemed not to have? Moses, like David, got a hold of something. That unique empowerment that God gives, the reassurance of himself in the situation, beyond the situation. They were able to see and feel and know the indwelling of the victory of God over everything else. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When I read that scripture, Jesus says, I am. I had heard that before. If you go back to Exodus, when Moses says, who's sending me? He said, tell him I am sent you. That same promise that Moses got, Jesus said, I am. So in John 14:6, this is what God gave me. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? We know God has already told Moses, I am. That's his name. That's who I am. The way, we know Jesus is the way to heaven. No one gets to the Father except through me. The truth, that's the Holy Spirit. So indwelling in Jesus was God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus were one, connected. The same truth that Moses had. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, one, connected. The same truth that David saw that day going up against Goliath. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, connected. The empowerment. uniquely empowered is not just, it's beyond physical. It's a spiritual knowing of the truth that God has already established in us. It's beyond physical. Man. I brought a couple copies. I didn't think this many people were gonna come to my workshop. I wanna go over the poem one more time. I think I have 9 copies. So what I want to do is I want to give them to, I'll give them to the rows. You don't have to follow along if you don't want to. You really don't. I can do it from here. But if you would like to follow along, I'll make copies available. Limited amount of copies available. All right, what's that? Yes.
How and when did you know that God had empowered you?
Honestly?
Yes.
How and when did I know God had empowered me? The only time I can't believe I admit this. The only time I honestly feel empowered by God is when I'm up here speaking. Okay. When I am in front of people doing this, this is the only time in my life I feel like I have purpose. I don't feel it any other time. I love God every other time. I'll die for God every other time. I'm consistently trying to please God every other time. I want to be the best I can. But when I'm up here, I matter. When I'm up here in front of you guys, I know I'm supposed to be born. That's why this is so
difficult. I have another question.
Yeah.
So, if you're willing to die for him, the only way you can be willing is that you are. You cannot be willing without knowing he's empowered.
I suck at studying. The secret for me is honestly this. Look, my parents told me when I was young, you know, that I'm only here because God wants me here. They told me a story of my birth a lot. I always knew that I always felt when I was a kid, before I got saved, there was another reason I was alive. I didn't know what it was, but I knew that everything all the other little kids did, I didn't care about. I didn't want to do it. My dad had a set of biblical tapes at home one day, and I was bored, and I listened to them. And that moment, I knew that's what I wanted. And so I would listen to those tapes all the time. From that moment, I got saved when I was 8, and my parents were mean, and they wouldn't go up to the front with me. They said, if you want to be saved, then you got to go up there by yourself. And I was 8 years old. I'll never forget it. I was sitting next to my mom and dad in church, and they're like, the pastor did the altar call like he did every day. And for that one day, I started crying, and I couldn't help it. I needed that. My parents looked at me, they started me crying, and my dad's like, you want it? Go get it. I'm not coming up there with you. And mom's just like, oh. So I got up from my seat, and I slowly walked to the front, and I'll never forget the pastor said. He's like, he looked down at me, he smiled, and I'm crying, and he's like, and that day I was like the only one who wanted Jesus, I guess. Nobody else came up. He said, right now every angel in heaven is rejoicing. That's what he said, and I'll never forget that. And from that moment on, I got saved, and start reading the Bible, and all I ever cared about is God and church. I was so fascinated by God because he wasn't created and he'd do all these things. And so that's honestly why I started reading the Old Testament, because God did a bunch of cool stuff, you know? And then I wanted to get to know him. Like, I'm like, well, how do I learn about this? And so I start reading the Old Testament, and that's pretty much been my life this whole time. The problem with me is I still am fascinated by God. The reason why it's a problem is because you got to understand, most people aren't, they don't, in today's world, they don't care as much, you know? My conversations all come back to God. People get sick of hearing that. And so for me, it's difficult sometimes, unless my mom's around, you know? God gave me a gift of sight when I was young, when I was a little boy. I didn't ask for it. It just happened. I saw my first demon when I was, like, really young. I didn't know what it was. I wasn't happy I saw it. I wasn't like, oh, sweet. No. I was like, why? And so I start praying, and then I prayed for 7 years. 7 years every day, because I saw that demon. I wanted to see angels, and I wanted to be protected. And I saw my first angel. Everything in my life, when it came to God, it just felt like that's what I was supposed to do, you know? I don't know anything else. I don't know how to do anything else. I'm not, like, smart or anything. I'm not down on myself. You guys don't understand. I'm really not. Everything in my life that I have, God gave it to me. Literally said, here, you can have this. You don't need to work for it, because I know you're my son. Just take it, you know? It's literally like that. Yeah. This workshop has been destroying me, because you guys don't understand, man. This workshop, to me, to be uniquely powered means, it means that when I walk into a room, the atmosphere is going to change, you know? Yes. That means if I pray for something or somebody, I'm praying for them because God wants me to, because he's going to use me to fix it or to change it. That means, it means everything that I do, God has a plan behind it. He's going to work through it, you know? I don't need to know what the answer is, but he's the one. That's why I'm doing it. My life's dream is to, you know, I want God to look at me and say, good job. Like, that's all I want him to say, is well done, you know? And I don't always feel that way. That's why this workshop's so hard for me, because it's like, I know God sees me how he sees me, but I don't see myself that way, you know? I just don't. And it's been a struggle, because we all pray like, you know, God, I want this. God, I want to be in your presence. God, I want to be great, you know? But what happens when he says you are? What do you do then? But you don't see yourself that way. You know, you don't, there's not a moment where all of a sudden the light comes on and you're like, oh, I got it. That doesn't happen, you know? When he says you're uniquely powered, all he's saying is, I'm in you. You've finally laid enough pride down to figure it out. You're listening to me a little bit more now. You've learned how to humble yourself. And now you're more willing to do what I say over your flesh. That's like what it means, you know? The only gift I have, if someone were to ask me, what can you do? Is write poetry. Like, that's all I got. Like, that's the extent of my abilities. That's it. What God does with that is on him. But I believe her name is Janice, right? Janice, we're staying with. This morning, every time we stay at her house before my workshop, she gives me these magnificent spiritual insight words. I'm not joking. I don't know if she knows she does it. But this morning, I'm sitting there, and she's like, hey, she was telling me about Ben Carson, some other people. And she's like, hey, I can't remember the name. She's like, so-and-so told me that if, you know how you know if the Holy Spirit gives you something to write? I was like, no, I have no idea. She's like, because it rhymes. Well, she didn't know I wrote this. I was like, really? Well, can I read you something? Is this what you're talking about? Maybe. You know? But, I mean, seriously, it's when God made me, I still don't know what he was thinking the whole time, but he gave me, but I'm serious, I'm not being, he gave me poetry. Like, that's what I got. That's, so when I wrote this, I wasn't thinking about this topic or this workshop. I was just sitting at home one day and it came to me and I wrote it down. But I want to go back over this poem. It's probably the only thing I'll do well. And I want to show you what he showed me after he gave me this and told me to read it. Because remember, we have to stand up here and say what we're going to do for our workshop. I was really stressing about it because I had nothing to say. There was no event in my life to reach back onto. You know, me and my wife had nothing to do with this, and it's just like, I got nothing. And he's like, read the poem. And I was like, okay, but I have to say something. He's like, just read the poem. That's how he said it. Just stop and read the poem. I was like, okay. So that's what I did. So I'm going to go back over this. I'm going to show you what he showed me. It's really hard for me all the time to tell people what I see, because most people think I'm crazy or not sane, and I can't help it. Like, you guys don't understand. I cannot help it. I see so much all the time, and lately it's been increasing. I'm not just talking about demons and angels. Other things about people, you know, things to pray for, you know. It took me a while to learn that when God showed me something about a person, it's because he needed me to pray for them, you know, and he wanted to do something for them, and he needed somebody to see it, to ask him so we could do it. Amen. It took me a long time to learn that, you know. I would just go tell people stuff, and he's like, no. Luckily, my mom is very spiritually intuitive, and you know, she's a prophet, so she understands all this stuff. And so, you know, she kind of means like, hey, that's not what you do. And she took time, literally, she took time, sat down with me and explained stuff. As God increased my gift, she would tell me what it meant, or what it was for, how to use it, you know? So it's been hard for me to... My mom's my best friend, okay? But what that means is, like, I know I'm growing up, and I've been feeling for a while, you know, God's going to do something with me. You know, I'm coming closer and closer to what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not there yet, but I'm really close. And I know I got to let my mom go, you know? She's always going to be my mom, but it's time. I don't like thinking about it. I never admitted it to her before, but it's time. You know, part of it, you know, my mom, she's the rock in the family. You know, when we need something, something goes wrong, we go to mom. My brothers, all of us, we go to mom's house. Hey, mom, what's going on? She's going to give us insight, whether we want to hear it or not. You know, but she's going to give us the truth. She's going to interpret it for us. And... you know, I don't know. All right. Okay, I'm done with that. Yeah, thank you. I can't even crying so much. I'm a grown man. All right. All right. Yeah, you weren't supposed to hear that one. I was just... Okay. Uniquely powered. This poem describes everything about this workshop. The Holy Spirit, one thing I have found about the Holy Spirit is if he gives you a task to do, he's already given you, you already completed what you need for that task way before the task is ever you ever run into actually performing the task. Okay, for instance, this is an example. All right, let's say you're gonna build a woodshed. You never built a woodshed before. You have no use for one, but you're gonna build one. Somebody comes to you and says, "I need your help building a woodshed." Okay. This is an example of the Holy Spirit does. A month ago, you went to the store and were buying random items for no reason. Wrench, hammer. You don't know why. Like, it's a hammer. Cool, I want one. I don't have one. Let me get it. You know? And you've collected all this random stuff for no reason. All of a sudden, you need to build a woodshed. You go in your garage or in the back of your car, and you're like, oh my gosh, everything I need to build a woodshed is in the back of my car. Cool. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you everything you need before, way before the task is ever presented to you. All right? So he gave me this way before this workshop. And I'll tell you guys a secret. Okay, this is a riddle. All right? And he just told me what the answer is. And I wrote this probably a year ago. So, yeah. All right, so I'm going to read it. And I'm going to look up the scriptures with you and read them so you can understand what he's talking about, okay? All right. Okay. Researched it, found the truth, and rebirthed it. Job chapter 10, verses 11 through 12, spoke concerning it. So we're going to go to Job chapter 10, 11 and 12. Chapter 11 says, "Clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted my life and favor, and you care has preserved my spirit." Okay, read one more time. "Clothe me with skin and flesh, and knit me together with bones and sinews. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit." Okay, it's Job 11 and 12. Okay, next is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, describe it. So it says, researched it, found the truth, and rebirthed it. Job chapter 10, verses 11 through 12, spoke concerning it. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, describe it. So we go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Okay. Here it is. "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the ground.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the ground.'" Okay, that's Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Okay? So, first thing God's talking about is, in Job, put skin on you, gave you life. Okay? Now he's talking about when he created us. Okay, so researched it, found the truth, and rebirthed it. Job chapter 10, verses 11 through 12, spoke concerning it. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, describe it. The human body thrives on it. Intuition heightened the fire that inspires it, better known as the Holy Spirit's guidance, the unseen fuel that ignites it, cleverly weathered the match that strikes it. Imagination confided in it, with it, and inside of it. It broke the ties of confinement. The sun's light shines on it, illuminated and identified it. By the Star of David, they recognized it. Its limits are non-existent, and there exists no man-made record of it. No amount of money can afford it. The Leviathan and the Behemoth described in Job chapter 41, verses 1 through 29, are descendants of it. So we go to Job 41, I'm going to read 1 through 29. All right, here we go. All right. Can you draw out Leviathan with a hook or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Can you put a reed through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many supplications to you? Will he speak softly to you? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him as a servant forever? Will you play with him with the will you play with him as with a bird, or will you leash him for your maidens? Will your companions make a banquet of him? Will they approach him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should pay him? Everything under heaven is mine. I will not conceal his limbs, his mighty power, or the graceful proportions. Who can remove his outer coat? Who can approach him with a double bridle? Who can open the doors of his face with his terrible teeth all around? His rows of scales are his pride, shut up tight as with a seal. One is so near another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together and cannot be parted. His sneezing flashed for light. His sneezing flashed forth light. And his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lights. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke goes out of his nostrils, as from a boiling pot and a burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame goes out of his mouth. Strength dwells in his neck, and sorrow dances before him. The folds of his flesh are joined together. They are firm on him and cannot be moved. His heart is as hard as stone, even as hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. Because of his crashes, they are beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it cannot avail. Nor does spear, dart, or javelin. He regards iron as straw and bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones become like stubble to him. Darts are regarded as straw. He laughs at the threat of javelins. All right, it's 41 through 129. So I'm going to read all the way up to there again so you can have it fresh in your minds. Okay? Okay. Researched it, found the truth, and rebirthed it. Job chapter 10, verses 11 through 12 spoke concerning it. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 describe it. The human body thrives on it. Intuition heightened the fire that inspired it. Better known as the Holy Spirit's guidance, the unseen fuel that ignites it. Cleverly weathered the mouth, the match that strikes it. Imagination confided in it, with it, and inside of it. It broke the ties of confinement. The sun's light shines on it, illuminate and identified it. By the Star of David, they recognized it. Its limits are non-existent, and there exists no man-made record of it. No amount of money can afford it. The Leviathan and the behemoth described in Job, chapter 41, verses 1 through 29, are descendants of it. Although searched for, no archaeologist has ever discovered it. God alone conscribed it, created the blueprints, and defined it. From nothingness, he designed it, built it, and refined it. So come forth and attempt to decipher it. Time has grown, the prize is priceless for the one who finds it. So, who thinks they... Oh, good job, Holy Spirit. Okay, so any takers of what it is? What do you think it is?
No.
Has something to do with it, yes. Power of God. Jesus, yes. Keep going. Holy Spirit, yes. Yes. Think about it. God's the only one that's never been. He created everything. So that has to be part of it. Jesus literally is creation. He is the words. Words became flesh. So he has to be part of it.
the Holy Spirit is the power by which Jesus created everything. So he has to be a part of it. And there's no man-made record of it. Archaeologists can't find it. We know Jesus walked the earth. Okay. So it has to be the one thing that man, beast, all exist because of, but we can't put our hands on. And we have to believe in it by faith. It's the only one thing that encompasses all of that ability. God himself, the Trinity. Yeah. That's all I got. I'm done.
So, this workshop, uniquely empowered. God has uniquely empowered all of us. Okay, just like when David was going up against the Philistine, he knew something. He knew there was something inside of him that was stronger and greater than the Philistine, and he was going to prove it. Once he attached himself to God, he knew that God was invincible. And so he knew he was going to win because he was purposed. Just like the only time I feel purpose is when I'm up here. When I'm up here, I know I'm doing God's work. We all have that inside of us. We all are uniquely powered. And the power comes from our faith in God, what he's going to do with that faith, and when he chooses to do it. That's really all I got. This workshop for me, it's completely different than any workshop I've ever done, because like I said, I'm not teaching. As I give this workshop, I'm discovering, I'm learning, you know? And that's why it's been so difficult for me. I mean, I love God so much that I don't want to mess up, you know? And this one, I've never felt more inadequate in my entire life than with this topic. Like, you have no idea. But I know the Bible says, you know, when we are weak, God is strong. So I know this whole next year, it's not about me. And I know people say it, but for me, I've never been able to look in the mirror and not see myself before. But that's what this is all about. It's not about me anymore. What I think, how I think, why I think. You know, it's not about me holding on to my mom. It's about what God has for me. And I can't honestly tell you know what that is, because I don't. But I know that because I'm weak and I'm insufficient and I slur my words, then God has to be able to use this, because what else is it for, you know? So, if you guys do want a copy of this, like I said, I can make more, but I have, I think, 9 in there. I didn't really think this many people were going to show up to my workshop, honestly. I have 10 copies, so if you guys do want one, I'm more than happy to give you guys a copy. My blog? Yeah. It's benglass@wordpress.com. Oh, sorry. It's benglass@wordpress.com.